Sheffield Live, made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you want to get your message heard? With low advertising rates and great sponsorship opportunities, Sheffield Live can help you reach thousands of local people. Get your campaign on Sheffield Live. To find out more about advertising on Sheffield Live, write to advertising@sheffieldlive.org or call 0114 281 4082.
Hello, good evening, here we are. Welcome to another Deserted Island Dis. It's happening, we're here live on a Wednesday night in Sheffield. I think we've been doing the show since March this year, and I'm getting there where I'm officially running out of Irish people to have on the show. So the premise of Deserted Island Dis is that every week we have someone who was born in Ireland and now lives in South Yorkshire, and they tell us about their life story, and they pick some songs that mean a lot to him through that they've been their special songs throughout their life. And now most of the people I know in my life that are Irish have been on the show, and I've put it out there for more people. So if you know anyone that fits the bill, please get in touch. We've got an email address of Deserted Island, as in the country of Ireland, dis, so deserted island dis@gmail.com. But lucky for me, tonight I've got one of my favourite Sheffield people, well, Rotherham, Sheffield, South Yorkshire person in Coleman. Coleman, I love him, and I'm really pleased that he's agreed to be on the show tonight. So, welcome, Coleman. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks for asking me down.
It's all right. And Coleman is an amazing fiddle player, very funny man, but he's the most self-effacing person. He will always put yourself down, don't you? You don't like compliments, do you?
Yeah, well, I'm not that funny.
Well, your fiddle playing is amazing.
It's well, very kind of you to say.
No, he's an absolute lovely man who I've known for quite a long time, at least 10 years I've known you.
At least.
Around.
And we it's always been a long have a laugh. Time.
It's been a long time. Feels like longer, yeah. But we always have a laugh. And one of the things you've said to me over the years was about how much Irish music means to you, and you've always had Irish music playing in the house, haven't you? So, just although you were born, yes. You're born in Rotherham.
That's right, in Maltby.
So you were born in Maltby, is actual Maltby.
Yeah, well, I was born in Rotherham General Hospital, yeah, but yes. I grew up in Maltby.
Grew up in Maltby, which for people who don't know, is well, go on, describe Maltby for us.
I'm not allowed to swear, am I?
No swearing. You've been practicing all day, but not swearing.
No, yeah. Maltby is a great, lovely mining village surrounded by farmland and bordered by the M18, which was the border between our village and Sheffield, which is the next city. So it felt like a cultural border, yeah. Oftentimes.
Yes. Yeah, no, I know. I live in Rotherham. I've done for many years, and I can see that. Great place. We love it, don't we? But you're quite often, well, you're Sheffield now, aren't you?
I am thoroughly Sheffield now.
Yes. Well, you were telling it, but you use, so your kind of Irishness, where did it come from?
Well, my grandmother was born in Derry, moved over to Liverpool when she was very young. My father was born in Liverpool,
yeah.
And then moved over to work in the coal mines in Maltby, and yeah, so the line of sort of Ireland through Dublin, through Liverpool, through Manchester and Sheffield,
yeah.
Into the coal mines. It's a common Irish.
That's it. Yeah, thing. Yeah.
The steel workers and the miners were all mostly Irish. Or yeah.
Yeah. So your dad would have moved. What is that in the '60s? He'd have moved to.
Late 50s, I think.
All right, so yeah. And you've got siblings, have you?
I have, yeah. There were eight of us in our house, well, including my mum and dad, but yeah, six siblings.
Yeah.
And well, five siblings, if that's the right way to say
it. Six of you. And where were you in that working
order? I was at the bottom rung.
You can tell, can't you?
I was the brat.
So what was that like then, growing up with, like, is it brothers and sisters, was it?
Yeah, one sister And the rest all brothers, yeah, much older than me. My three eldest brothers worked down the pit with my father, as I became aware as a human being, as about 4 or 5 years old. And they were already working down the pit with my dad.
Yeah.
So they were men, more like uncles.
But
yeah, they were all working down the pit with my dad.
Yeah. So. Well, we might come on to it, but I suppose that was that kind of, at some point was going to be an expectation for you, was it?
Well, interestingly enough, because of the miners' strike during the 80s, and my father wasn't really very keen on me going to work down the pit, but the pit wasn't taking anybody on for years after the miners' strike, but they did when me and my brother Finbar got to about 18, 20 years old, and we were doing rubbish jobs for 50 quid a week, and then the pit started taking people on.
Yeah.
And said, "I will give you 350 quid a week, and come get a really good job and train as a whatever electrician, mechanic, or whatever."
Yeah.
But my dad said, "You're not going down the pit. Otherwise, you're moving out of my house."
Right, right.
So we didn't. Yeah. So we decided not to.
No, that's good on your dad, isn't it? He's strongly.
Yeah.
He wanted a better life for you, I suppose, didn't he? Something different, didn't he? So So we're talking about. The Irish music, and that was constantly around your house, was it?
Absolutely, yeah. Constantly, yeah. Yeah. Especially Sunday afternoons, playing Seamus Ennis on the pipes, and just any Irish music, well, which would have been on vinyl records back in the day, but and then later, latterly in CDs. But always Irish music. Playing in the house at full blast because my dad worked down the pit, so his hearing had gone, so he'd have it up loud enough for the whole of the cul-de-sac to hear.
And how did that go down? Was he
well, no complaints so far. Yeah. I think.
So talking of that then, so you're gonna do one of the songs that was kind of around at that time on your fiddle. For exactly, so you're gonna do it?
I'd love to, yeah.
Live in the studio. It's called Morning Thrush.
The Morning Thrush, yeah. A tune written by I think by either Seamus Ennis or by his father. But yeah, it's a lovely tune. Anyway.
Okay, you crack on whenever you're ready.
Okay. I'll try this.
Thank you. Hey, wonderful, wonderful. Oh, it's great. Thanks for playing that, yeah. So that was playing, yeah, when you were a kid, one of your earliest kind of memory songs.
Yeah, listen to Irish music always on a Sunday, but then often through the week, just all the time. My mum would let in, but
yeah. But you didn't play fiddle when you were a kid, were you? Oh.
No, my dad brought me when I was 5 years old. I used to run round with his bar on, the Irish drum.
Yeah.
With a bar on. He basically gave it me when I was a 5 year old.
Yeah. I thought that was great.
And I ran around the house beating it with a stick, terrorising everybody. Yeah. And then I think the story goes, my father told me, my mum said to him, "If you teach him how to play it, or I'm going to kill him." So he taught me how to play the baron, and then he took it off me about 6 weeks later and said, "Ah, you show off."
Oh, so he was actually good.
So then he gave me the tin whistle when I was six.
Right.
And so I learned that.
But I don't think I've ever seen you play tin whistle ever.
No. I rarely play it these days. I can murder a couple of slow airs.
Well, I've just brought a tin whistle out. No, not tonight.
Well, I could murder a slow air.
So let's get back to your life story. So you presumably was it Catholic school you went to? Was it your primary school? Catholic school in Maltby.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, St Mary Magdalene's in Maltby. Through nursery, infants and juniors, and then up into secondary school at St Bernard's in Herythorpe.
Yes, I know it well. Yeah, but that's quite far from Maltby, isn't it?
So, yeah, half hour bus ride.
That's a lot. Running
the gauntlet past Wickersley Comprehensive, where they all used to throw stuff at us while we're going past on the bus.
On the bus, yeah. We'd have some rival schools, wouldn't you? But so I suppose it's so there's not many kind of, I suppose, Irish Catholics in that, because for Rotherham, really, it's quite a big town, isn't it? Like a couple of hundred thousand, but the actual is that the only Catholic school, I think, isn't it?
It's a secondary school. I wouldn't be sure about that.
But anyway, so you're all together then, all the Catholics.
Yeah. Keep them in one place.
But there was there much kind of music going on there? Many kind of people you met or musicians?
At school?
Yeah.
Not necessarily, no. No, music wasn't a big thing. As a teenager in secondary school, I got into rock music. And being from Maltby, everybody had a denim jacket or a leather jacket and a bit of a long hair. At school, no. But growing up in Maltby, it was a big rock town. And we all got into.
Well, I suppose you got the older brothers and people that would get you into music.
That's right.
Would they have an influence in you?
Definitely. Yeah. Well, like my dad had a great record collection. Mostly, it was. But once he trusted my hands to be good on the needle, we're talking about vinyl records. Sort of let me play his Beatles albums. Be careful with the needle; don't scratch it. But then my brothers had at the end of the record collection bands like Black Sabbath, Rush.
Should we play one of them then? Should we?
Yeah, let's have a bit of
okay. It's a bit of a jump, isn't it, for some of our listeners that might be liking the folk music. We're going to play a bit of War Pigs, which is Black Sabbath, which was kind of, I suppose this is like your teenage years. Yeah, so we're going to have a go at playing War Pigs.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerers.
death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning, death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah. Darkness world stops turning, ashes where the body's burning. No more war pigs have the power, and as God has struck the hour, day of judgment God is calling. On the knees the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for the sins. Satan laughing spreads his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
War Pigs, Black Sabbath. That's the choice of my lovely guest tonight, Corman. So, oh, that was what we didn't say earlier. You say, the first time I've heard your full name, Corman. Give us your full name.
My name is Spira Gobful. It's Corman Declan Rury Mihol Fury.
Very good, very good. The Furies, eh? From Liverpool.
Don't ask me to spell it.
Okay. So, yeah, no, Corman's my guest tonight on Deserted Island Discs. It's this show where usually we have someone born in Ireland and now living in South Yorkshire, and they tell us about their life story. But we've run out of Irish people, so we've going second generation there. So Coleman's in. I do have some guests lined up who are born in Ireland and now live in South Yorkshire, but none of them could do this week. So it's very lucky to have Coleman. Yes, that's it. So let's go back to your life then. So we established, grew up in Maltby, went to Catholic school, good Catholic lad. How did you do at school? All right, or
I did all right. Yeah. I paid attention for most of it. I used to wag it a lot.
Right. It's a long way though, isn't it? It's that bus, isn't it? If you miss that first bus,
that's right. Yeah.
It's like it's a drag to get.
The worst one was getting the one I'm most ashamed of is getting on the bus in my slippers.
Okay.
And I sat on the school bus in my slippers and then jumped off at the next stop. You live and learn. You live and learn.
You've not done that since, have you?
No. I just don't buy slippers anymore.
Yeah, that's it, bare feet. And that's the kind of thing that you might get noticed by other pupils, I imagine, in Rotherham. Look at Coleman.
Joe, in his slippers.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah, not getting to school, yeah, at all. So
I'm sure I could have fronted it.
You could have got through it, yeah. But it was, so, yeah, you got through school. And did you leave school 16, 18? You got
16.
What happened?
Straight onto the YTS.
Right.
Youth training scheme. Yeah. £29.60 a week in a music shop in Doncaster, actually.
That's not bad then, is it?
Which I was into playing because I got into rock music, so playing the electric guitar, and so basically got to sit around in a relatively quiet shop, testing
all
these fantastic guitars out. So I got to play some wonderful guitars and actually learned how to tune one as well while I was there, that's a dark art in and of itself, tuning a guitar, mind a fiddle.
Yeah, well, I stood you in good stead, and so Coleman's, we should say, is you're always around Sheffield, aren't you? In playing your fiddle, both in the pubs and the Grapes, and but other establishments in Sheffield. But also you busker, aren't you? A great busker.
I am a busker.
You are a busker. Yeah. So. Anyone that's around the city centre of Sheffield will hear your lovely tones going across the moor. Is that you?
Often on the moor. There's been a lot of roadworks on Fargate, so it's a bit noisy up there for me, but yes.
Okay, so
more often down the moor.
Oh, well, I think they've stopped doing it now, haven't they? Is all the work done?
I'm drifting back up that way, yes.
Right, so we'll see you around and you play fiddle there. So if you see Coleman, give him 20 quid. Yes. That's the usual amount, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Give him a smile.
That'll do. Yeah. I'm cheap and cheerful.
Hey, have you got one of them contactless things now for people giving you money contactless?
No,
I didn't think you had.
No. I can barely work my own bloody smartphone. Sorry, I said bloody.
That's allowed, Dan. We don't have to apologise for bloody, I don't think. So, but obviously that you didn't stay in that guitar shop, did you? Music shop in Doncaster.
No.
Because, people won't know it, didn't it? But the YTS was like a 2-year training scheme, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. From 16 to 18, yeah, the youth training scheme.
People would say it was like cheap labour for the people.
It was exactly that, yes.
Was it that kind of you got to 18 and they said, sorry, we're having another YTS? Like,
no,
it was cheap,
it didn't actually go that way. I did my bit there and I left before the 2 years and got another job with a friend of mine, which was much better paid.
What was the job?
It was nothing to do with music. It was mixing concrete in a concrete bin, spinning round, and making paving slabs and ornate things for garden centres. There's a good story actually. One of them was one with, like, so you fill these moulds up, So it'd be like one of them was a Venus de Milo, but because it was a pal of mine who I was in a rock band, it was my first rock band that I joined when I was 16. And the Venus de Milo, one day his dad was away who ran the business, and we decided to sack it off. So we filled one of the moulds up with bits of old other moulds.
Right.
And so this Venus de Milo came out with like cats and owls' heads all up the side of the body, and it didn't look right anyway.
Well, I think that might fit well in your on the side of your house.
It was quite surreal.
Yes, that's you. Is that why I'd say you?
Yeah.
But we'll play another song from that era. So you've picked Mouth Breather. Is this another? I've never heard of this one. Mouth Breather. The Jesus Lizard. It's not Irish, is it, Coleman?
It's nothing to do with Irish. It's a band who started in Austin, Texas, but moved to Chicago. But the best rock band ever in the world, and it's very heavy. But as a teenager, I grew up on this, and this opened my mind to how music can be. Oh, and just right. Anyway,
I'm intrigued. Let's listen. Well, that's all right, I like that, Mouth Breather. The Jesus Lizard. That's the choice of Coleman Fury. It's lovely to have you here, isn't it? Time's flying, we're halfway through. And it's just like, yeah, it's just great to have you here. You're a funny, funny man.
I try to be.
Yeah, you are. So we're going to do get Coleman to play a tune next on his fiddle. So all those kind of, you know, the Irish, possibly older listeners that were... we've educated them with Black Sabbath and the Jesus Lizards. Don't worry, we're coming back to Coleman and his lovely fiddle playing in a bit. But I didn't know you were in a band then when you were 16. Yeah, were you playing guitar then or?
I was, yeah, playing singing? Electric guitar. No, not singing. Good Lord, no.
You have got a lovely voice, though.
I scare the like sheep if I start singing.
No, you are a good singer. I like singing, but you're not singing tonight.
No,
not brought the guitar of you. But so you're electric guitar in the band.
Electric guitar in a rock band. Yeah, when I was about 16, I'd just left school, and yeah,
cool.
It was a band called Intruder.
Right.
There were many jokes made about that name, which we won't go into.
Okay, we can probably guess. Yes, but how long was it? Was it your gigs and that? Were you doing?
Yeah, I did plenty of gigs. Yeah.
Okay.
We got a manager.
Wow.
We did a lot of gigs around the sort of north of England. We had a 5-year management deal. None of us made any money, as a very good manager would do. But it was fun at the time.
Yeah, well, you must have been pretty good then, getting the gigs and doing all right. Yeah, but and at the end, the way of all bands of musical differences.
You beat me to it. Yes, musical differences. Yeah.
But I suppose again, that's good for us because you picked up the fiddle. When did you first pick up the fiddle?
I picked up the fiddle first. After being into Irish music all my life, and then when I moved out of my dad's house, I decided that I wanted to get back into Irish music after listening to rock music for years and not being interested in Irish music as a teenager. But it's literally 2 weeks after I left my dad's house, and I said, right, I'll see you in 2 weeks, I'll come back for Sunday dinner. And I went back and I said to him, and his jaw nearly hit the floor, I said, give us a tape. And we were talking back in the days. Yeah, yeah. Give us a cassette tape, one of them C90s of some Irish music. And his jaw hit the floor and he was like, what? And I said, Dad, I moved out of your house and I don't get to hear Irish music anymore. So can I have some just to listen to in my new place in Sheffield? So he did, and he gave me one side of the cassette tape was the Chieftains 4 album, which I grew up on, and on the other side was the Chieftains fiddle player Sean Keane, but his solo album called Gussie's Frolics, and that basically took my mind over, is the right way to say it. I heard that album and I was like, I know I'll never be as good as Sean Keane, but I heard that album and I was like, that's what I want to do.
Wow.
I want to learn how to do that. So about a month after that, I went and bought a fiddle for £25 from a pawn shop.
Yeah.
And started teaching myself how to play the violin torturously.
Yeah, because you told me, I suppose long after that, you went down to Fagin's and there was amazing fiddle players like Pat Walker was
that's
playing
right,
stuff.
Pat Walker.
He was very welcoming, I presume, to start with, was he?
Very welcoming, yeah. They were great. Pat Walker was a really good influence on me. Patrick Walker was literally one of them, if not the best influence on my fiddle playing. I used to get to sit there and just watch him play. I was dreadful on the violin and I shouldn't have been there. I'd only been playing for a little while.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't have been there and I shouldn't have been ruining the session, but he was very generous of spirit and he was really encouraging. And I was very lucky to hang around. And Brian Gilmer on the guitar as well. Yeah. They were all very generous of spirit. I was very lucky at that time to have met those people at that time.
Yeah, you were in your 20s at this point, was it?
I was about 19 years old, well, I think. Amazing.
Oh, it was really nice and lovely people. Still, I mean, Pat's not in the country, is he? But he comes back occasionally and plays. But Brian's still playing, isn't he?
Yeah. Brian. I still play with Brian often. Yeah, not as often as I like to, but yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, let's get you to do a tune then. Which tune are you going to do?
Okay, I'll play a set of jigs. Let's have a look. I struggle for names for tunes. It's, it's these, anyway.
Yeah, these ones.
It's these tunes.
People will recognise them.
It's these, anyway. How's the first one go now?
I don't know.
You've got me thinking now. I've distracted this, you ever. I do this every day now. What's the first one go? Yeah. It's an odd tune, the first one, actually. Not many people I know this first tune, but it's a lovely tune in D minor. Anyway, I'm boring myself, actually. I'll just play it. Okay.
D minor, you say? Thank you. Beautiful, beautiful. That's amazing. Thank you. Oh, that's brilliant. I love those.
That'll do until the fiddle player gets here.
Yeah, oh, there he goes again. Fabulous, fabulous. So, yeah, I mean, you're still playing out in sessions, often in the grapes, aren't you? So
that's right, yes.
People want to go. And I suppose one of the things that you were lovely with me, so I'm a very, very amateur, mediocre guitar player, but
I would not say agree with that. I love playing tunes with you, so yeah, yes. Yeah.
I know, and well,
don't listen to him; he's lying.
But no, you was absolutely the most lovely, encouraging person to me. And what I'm saying is, for any people that are thinking of like coming out to the pub and seeing you're just helping them, aren't you, to feel comfortable. And your self-effacingness makes people think, actually, yeah, I can do this, and you're really encouraging.
Yeah, I often think, well, if I can do it and I can get over the fear, you know, face the fear and just do it anyway, and I did that. But, yeah, and I like to encourage new young people who come across, turn up with a fiddle case and don't get it out of the case. And yeah. So I'll make the joke of, well, it's not going to play itself.
Yeah.
Come on. Get it out, plays a tune, and for me, it doesn't matter if they're rubbish. That's what Irish music sessions for me are, and I learned this from my father. Was if just you know, just try, and you get a round of applause anyway, and you know, people who turn up to my session, and I just say plays a tune, and it didn't matter if they're rubbish, so long as you have a go. I'd start, you know, give them a big round of applause just for having a go. That's what I learned off my dad.
Yeah. And I think that's commonplace in Ireland, isn't it? I think if you go to Ireland, I love a session in Ireland where everyone seems to have a tune, don't they? So they'll just go around the pub and there'll be a bloke who's been stood at the bar all night. And then I'll just go, oh, Pat, give us that song, you know, and he'll do it, you know, and he's not amazing at all, is he? But he knows every word and he sings it with passion.
And give us a song, and excellence is not the key, it's having a go for music. It's not about being the best band in the world or being the greatest, it's just having a go and enjoying music as a community. For me, Irish music is a community, and it doesn't matter if you're any good on the fiddle or if you're rubbish, it's just like have a go and you're part of a community. And I've always tried to welcome people into that community, and I got that from my dad.
Yeah, and Pat Walker and people, I suppose.
And Pat Walker, and Brian Gilmer, and you know, all these people, all these great influences that I've had over the years. I mean, I play with some great people nowadays, some, you know, really top pro players. You know, Dave Kosky, Sam Proctor, you know.
Rowan's been on the show.
Rowan Piggott, and Charlie Piggott, yeah. You know. Like, I'm in awe of all of them. Like, but I still feel that I'm in awe to even be able to sit in the same room as them.
Yeah, but they all love you. But I mean, you are the catalyst for a lot of that, aren't you? And they all love you. They all respect you. And you
know, they're very kind to me.
Yeah, no, they do. They do. But one of the things you did, though, you were saying that when you kind of started off in your 20s and you kind of recognised really that you weren't that good. Sorry, no, you were.
No, I wasn't. That came out wrong. No, you're factually correct.
No, but you recognised that you could improve. And you tell it, you kind of said you'd lock yourself away for 10 years or something.
I did, yes, yeah. I realised I was going down Fagans as a late teenager and realising I was ruining the session. But nobody was overtly rude to me at the time, but I, you know, for my thick skin, I actually realised, even for myself, that I was like, yeah, I'm spoiling this, I'm going to go away and just like, right, I'm going to sit down and just get better. When I feel I'm ready to go back into the pubs and play with these people, then I'll come back. And that took 25 years.
Was it that long?
I got involved in other things.
Yeah, you had distractions.
I got into house music and techno and partying and dancing around in fields full of cows
right.
In the snow and stuff.
But you did. I think there was a good friend of mine,
Dominic Bradley, who came and heard me while a place I was working at, and came and heard me practicing. It was a big, tall room called the Great Hall, down at the old CADS building. And he was doing some delivery business thing there, and he came in and heard my fiddle playing. I was just practicing because it had a really high ceiling, and the echo was really lovely. So I was practicing there, and he said, "Ah, you should come down to Fagan's." And I was like, "Ah, I'm not really good enough yet." And he said, "Well, you won't be the best fiddle player there, but but you won't be the worst."
Yeah, so which is come good down. Enough,
yeah. Yeah, and that's that. Yeah, so he dragged me down there. Me and Dominic started playing down at Fagan's at the time when Tom and Barbara had the pub. And we practiced. Me and Dominic practiced loads and loads and loads and loads, like almost like 4 or 5 nights a week, just working tunes out, and it was great.
So that might lead us into your next choice. So you are the first person that's actually chose a poem for your choices. So
that's right.
So is it sounds like it's related to what you're just saying. Is it? It fits in.
I love this poem.
So it's. Charles Bukowski, roll the dice. So let's give this a go, see if this works.
Aim to try, go all the way. Otherwise, don't even start. If you are going to try, go all the way. This could mean losing girlfriends, wives, relatives, jobs, and maybe your mind. Go all the way. It could mean not eating for 3 or 4 days. It could mean freezing on a park bench. It could mean jail. It could mean derision, mockery, isolation. Isolation is the gift. All the others are a test of your endurance, of how much you really want to do it. And you'll do it, despite rejection and the worst odds. And it will be better than anything else you can imagine. If you're going to try, go all the way. There is no other feeling like that. You will be alone with the gods, and the nights will flame with fire. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Straight to perfect laughter. It's the only good fight there is. Roll the dice, by Charles Bukowski.
Lovely. Oh, so it's great, you know. So it's about you taking chances and trying as hard as you can. You're not doing it half.
I came across a poem when I was at university, I found it randomly, but it just spoke to me. And I've seen the film. There's a film about the fella, but. Yeah, it just spoke to me, just like when you've got nothing and you're incredibly into your, what would you say, art, I suppose, or, you know, he's a poet and a novel writer. My thing was music, but it was like, I've got nothing, but either you go hell for leather into it or don't bother.
Yeah.
If you're not... That's the thing of the poem. It's like, if you're not going to try, if you're not going to go all the way, just don't bother. So I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And I gave up everything for years and you know, lived as a pauper.
Yeah.
Just like, I want to be a good fiddle player. And one day, I might actually be.
No, you definitely will. No, you definitely will. Because you did have that determination, really, to say, go away, get good at it, and then you could come back and yeah, play beautifully as you do and make
well,
so many
very
people...
kind of you to say,
you do,
yeah.
You brighten up so many people's lives, just, well, you yourself, but also your music as well. So it's great to have you around. So we are running out of time, aren't we? It's,
yeah.
What I think we should do is force you to play one more, whatever you want, set of stuff on your fiddle.
On my fiddle, right. Okay.
And then when you finish that, we might have time to say goodbye. But this is Deserted Island Diss, and we're very honoured to have Coleman Fury with us tonight. And he's, yeah, when you're ready again, give us a nice...
What should we have then?
Tune, jig, whatever.
Anything. What should we have?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, that one that goes diddly diddly.
Hey, fantastic, Common. Thank you so much.
That'll do until the fiddle player gets.
Yeah, that's Common Fjorin. It's all right. It's a good. I love it. That's the one. I love it.
I love it.
That's fantastic. Just tell us, because about the fiddle and the bow. How did you get those in your possession?
Yeah, well, it's a recent acquisition, actually, so I'm not actually quite used to playing it, but it's a great fiddle. An old pal of my dad's, Nick Farrelly, one of the greatest fiddle players I've ever met, makes it look effortless. So I traded this in for an old fiddle I had. And it's lovely, but the bow is one of Patrick Walker's old bows, and it's a beautiful bow. And I was playing this fiddle for a couple of weeks with my bow, which I'd kind of got an inclination about, that bows are related to fiddles, which I had an inclination about. But then Nick passed me this bow and he said, "Try this with this fiddle," and the two are married. The two are married
it
together.
Sounds beautiful. Yeah, gorgeous.
Yeah, it's just, yeah. I mean, they're quite new to me, but I'm finding my fingers.
So that was really nice, isn't it? What are you saying, that you'd been eyeing up the fiddle you just played tonight from a distance?
Yes.
And so did Nick make the approach and saying, because he was saying that, like, the other fiddle you had was like, you were struggling with a bit.
I was struggling. I was fighting with it for about 3 years. And he noticed, and he said, "You don't get on with that fiddle." He'd sold it to me originally, but it was a birthday present.
All right.
So I didn't have to pay for it, which obviously...
yeah. Somebody was like, other people had...
But he noticed I was struggling with this fiddle. The one before this, and he said, "I could see, you know, he's a great player," and he spotted this. I didn't even spot it myself. But fiddles take a long time to break in, especially in new fiddles.
Yeah,
you know, I think the
so the one you had was like a nearly brand new one, or like
relatively brand new. It was about 25-30 years old. Yeah, right. So that's new fiddles.
And this, how old's this one you've got?
And this one's around about the same age, a little bit younger.
All right, but it still needs breaking in, yeah.
But this one seems to have been broken in already. It's like the old one. The other one was a bit shouty, and this one's just a bit sweeter, and it's beautiful. But like I say, with the difference between the bow, I've got about six or seven violin bows, and I've got three violins. And each bow works differently with each violin.
Amazing,
then Nick passed me this bow and said...
he's looking at it very longingly. Sorry, go on.
I know, I'm just staring at it. I know, I love this. But this bow is unbelievable, an unbelievable bow. And I'll often say that it's not necessarily the... Well, I mean, it's not necessarily the violin player, but... It's the bow that makes it up.
Well, it's a better bow, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got about 30 seconds left. What we've not mentioned is you met your partner when you're on the scene. Is that?
That's right, yeah.
Should we give it...
Big up to Sally Gay, yeah. Big up to Sally Gay, yeah. A great influence on my music playing.
Yeah. But that's what music does, isn't it?
Taught me very many tunes, yeah.
In there as well. So, right, well, we're out of time, so thank you so much, Corbin. It's been absolutely wonderful.
Well,
I hope you've enjoyed
well,
it. The hour has flown.
It has flown.
And
I apologise for my fiddle playing.
It's absolutely amazing. So thanks, everyone. Have a great night, and we'll see you all soon.
Hop!